Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, September 9th, 2023. Permian Basin, Texas, lead rig count rebound. Drilling activity snapped an eight-week slide, led by gains in Texas and the Permian Basin. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday the U.S. rig count, it has issued weekly since 1944, inched up one rig to 632. Still, that's 127 rigs, or 17% below the 759 counted last year. The number of rigs seeking crude oil also inched up one rig to 513, 78 fewer than the 591 rigs Baker Hughes reported last year. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas fell by one rig to 113, the lowest level since January 2022, and 53 fewer than the 166 rigs drilling for natural gas last year. Texas led producing states in gains, jumping four rigs to 310 for the week, 49 fewer than the 359 rigs active across the state a year ago. New Mexico fell three rigs to 104. California, three, joined Texas as the other producing state to see an increase. North Dakota, three, Utah, one, and West Virginia, one, joined New Mexico in seeing decreases. The Permian Basin was the only major producing basin to see a gain, according to Baker Hughes, adding one rig for 320 rigs at work throughout the region, and 20 fewer than the 340 reported last year. Lee County, New Mexico, remains the most active county in the Permian with 61 rigs, down two for the week. Eddy County, New Mexico, was next, holding at 42 rigs for a second week. Martin County had 36 rigs, down one for the week. Loving County showed the sharpest rise among Permian Basin counties, adding three rigs for 30. Midland County was steady at 28 rigs for a second week. Reeves County reported 25 rigs for a second week, while Ward County lost three rigs, the steepest decline among Permian counties, for 14 rigs. Glasscock County added one rig for 13, and Reagan County added one rig for 12. Crane, Hockley, and Mitchell County saw renewed activity this week with the addition of one rig each. Shaves County, New Mexico, and Dawson County saw no activity with the loss of their one rigs this week. Enverus Foundations, part of the energy-focused software as a service firm Enverus, said its U.S. rig count reached 695 during the week ended September 6th, falling by two from the previous week's high point. The count is down 2% or 12 rigs in the last month and down 20% year over year. The Permian drove the week-over-week decline with a nine-rig drop to 298, and the Anadarko Basin lost one rig at 47. Appalachia was flat at 42 rigs, while the Gulf Coast gained two to reach 75. The DJ and Williston basins added one rig each to hit 17 and 35. Rigs in all other areas rose by four to 181. County leaders to hold tax rate hearing. Commissioners also set to vote on budget and finalize tax rate. Midland County Commissioners will hold a public hearing and vote on the property tax rate on Monday. On August 14th, Midland County Commissioners approved a proposed tax rate of 12.04 cents per $100 valuation. In 2020, the property tax rate in Midland County was 12.80 cents. In 2021, it increased slightly to 12.88 cents per $100 valuation. In 2022, the tax rate was 14.14 cents. This past fiscal year, county leaders approved a decrease to 13.11 cents per $100 valuation. The tax rate will decline 8.14% from this year to next. Tax impact for Midlanders. For fiscal year 2023, the average value of a home within Midland city limits was $325,000, according to a previous Reporter Telegram article. That meant a county tax bill of $426.61 for the average Midlander. In fiscal year 2024, with an expected 10% increase to average home valuations inside the city of Midland, the average home value is expected to be $357,000. Midland homeowners will pay $430.53 in property taxes. using a tax rate of 12.04 cents per $100 valuation. The county forecast $43 million in sales tax revenue by the end of this fiscal year. County leaders also budgeted $118.726 million in total general fund revenues and $108 million in total general fund expenditures. The proposed budget for fiscal year 2024 includes $60 million in sales tax revenue, $136 million in total general fund revenue, and general fund expenditures of $106 million. According to Midland County documents, Midland County is expected to have a fund balance savings of around $104 million at the end of this fiscal year. The budget calls for that fund balance to decrease to $53 million by the end of FY 2024. The Midland County Commissioners Court will meet at 9 a.m. at the Midland County Courthouse. County leaders to discuss library book removal, library policy. Commissioners to meet on Monday about books removed from children's and young adult sections on August 30th. Midland County Commissioners will discuss the events that took place at Centennial Library on August 30th and take action on library policy regarding obscene and harmful materials during the Commissioners' Court session on Monday. The ongoing conversation between Midland County Commissioners and officials with the public Midland County Public Library began in mid-February when Precinct 4 Commissioner Diane Anderson proposed moving books with, quote, obscene, end quote, content from the children's section of the library to sections for adults. Following that meeting, a public comment period drew many Midlanders to the county courthouse to share their opinion on the matter. The conversation died down for about a month until March 13th, when Anderson called attention to the existing materials reconsideration procedure at county libraries. The reconsideration policy allows patrons of the library to fill out a form identifying titles that they find, quote, obscene, end quote, and presenting them to library staff. The library staff has 10 days to respond. If a patron is not satisfied with the library's ruling on the title, he or she can take a request to the Library Advisory Board and then county commissioners. During the April 24th Commissioners' Court meeting, county leaders discussed the Midland County Public Library's collection development policy and revised the reconsideration policy. The conversation lulled again for a few months until August 14th, when county commissioners again discussed library policy and library memberships. The county voted that the director of the Midland County Public Libraries was to move, quote, obscene, end quote, content from children's and young adult section to adult sections. In addition, the county ended their partnership with the American Library Association. Citing a celebratory and since-deleted tweet in which the American Library Association's new president, Emily Drabinski, referred to herself as a, quote, Marxist, end quote, after her appointment as president of the association. On August 30th, Anderson and 10 volunteers went into Centennial Library to note which books should be considered for removal from children's and young adult section. Anderson, in a statement following the events on August 30th, said that the books were not moved to the adult section by the volunteers, nor did any volunteers remove or burn any books. Quote, by moving these materials to the adult section, if a parent or legal guardian wishes their children to read these materials, that decision is left to the parent. The parent can check out these materials and decide under what circumstances the child can view, discuss, or otherwise handle the content. These materials should not be available to the child on its own volition, end quote, she wrote. Anderson wrote that the final decision about which books will officially be redesignated will be up to Midland County commissioners. Four of the five commissioners are Republican. Precinct 3 Commissioner Luis Sanchez is the lone Democrat. However, on August 14th, Sanchez did say that books that are obscene for children should be moved to different sections of the library. Precinct 1 Commissioner Scott Ramsey, who has been outspoken in his disdain for the county's motions regarding the library, questioned the criteria for how certain books would be deemed, quote, offensive, end quote. Precinct 2 Commissioner Jeff Summers has generally been quiet about the issue. On August 14th, the day the director of the Midland County Public Libraries was told to redesignate, quote, obscene, end quote, books, Anderson and County Judge Terry Johnson voted in the affirmative. Summers and Sanchez abstained from voting, and Ramsey opposed. Ramsey said Friday that the group of 10 volunteers that attended Centennial Library on August 30th were never vetted or brought before a county, and he was highly upset about the events that took place. County Judge Terry Johnson has been consistent in his message of reclassifying certain titles from youth sections to adult sections, saying on August 14th, quote, I've had hundreds of people that want to see this come to fruition, and I don't think we have to hire hundreds of people to deal with it. I think we allow the public, the community standards that exist here in Midland, Texas, to decide what they want in the library and what they don't want in the in their library, end quote. Anderson volunteers to go back to library Saturday. Precinct 4 Commissioner Diane Anderson and a group of volunteers plan to go to Centennial Library at 10 a.m. Saturday to review books again. On August 30th, Anderson and a group of volunteers noted 32 titles in children's and young adult sections in Centennial Library that should be considered for redesignation into adult sections. Anderson said the final decision regarding the fate of the titles will be decided by county commissioners. Precinct 1 Commissioner Scott Ramsey expressed his dismay Friday when asked about the events of August 30th. Ramsey said the volunteers who perused the library in late August were not vetted by or brought in front of the entire commissioner's court before doing so. Report. Shulman's Movie Bowl Grill joining Bass Pro Shops in West Midland. Shulman's Movie Bowl Grill will be joining Bass Pro Shops at the new entertainment complex in Midland. As reported by Maybe in Midland, Odessa, Shulman's features dining theaters, arcade games, a restaurant, bowling, and other indoor-outdoor activities. The new Shulman's will mark the company's fourth location, the other three being in Bay City, Sherman, and Corsicana. The development, located northwest of the intersection of State Highway 191 and State Highway 150, west of Grassland Estates, previously announced Bass Pro Shops as the first main tenant. The Bass Pro Shops was previously announced as a 65,000-square-foot store, but developers have stated it actually will be 100,000 square feet. The C. Hodges Development Services project is receiving public support, including property tax abatements, sales tax rebates, and millions of dollars in economic development assistance from the Midland Development Corp. In fact, the Midland City Council meeting in August authorized the city manager and Midland Development Corp. chairman to negotiate an amendment to the master development agreement between the City of Midland, the MDC, and C. Hodges Development Services, LP. The Midland Development Corp. also told the Reporter-Telegram on Friday that it, quote, has met with Synergy. They wanted the MDC to know about their expansion plans in Midland, end quote. What's up with Midland? CAF High Sky Wing Air Show, Saturday and Sunday. Centennial Park, Tall City Memorial Stair Climb Concert, Saturday. Basin PBS Heritage Festival, September 30th. The Destination, Karaoke Night, September 14th. Friday Night Live, Monty Branham, September 15th. Open Mic Night, September 21st. Friday Night Live, Fontez, September 22nd. Tall City Blues Fest, September 23rd. Bring Your Own Blues Open Jam, September 28th. Friday Night Live, Last Child, September 29th. Earth, Body, and Soul, Walk-In Tarot Reading every Tuesday. Walk-In Reiki Energy Clearing every Wednesday. Soul Doodling, Saturday. Usi Reiki Level 1 Certification Class, September 10th. Kitchen Witchery, September 29th. Horseshoe, Desert Paw Agility Club, Saturday through Sunday. Ree Lana's Fall Consignment, Sunday through Wednesday. Battleground Grappling, September 16th. Texas Battle Bowl Esports and Gaming Expo, September 29th through October 1st. Midland County Theater. Midland Community Theater. Rumors, Saturday and Sunday, September 15th through 16th, 22nd through 23rd, 29th through 30th. Midland Palette Club. Lunacut Printing, Saturday. Midland Polo Club, Legging Up Tournament, Sunday. Museum of the Southwest, Downtown Midland Farmers Market, every Saturday. Septemberfest, September 29th through October 1st. The Tailgate, Party in the Permian, every Thursday. Family Fun Day, every Sunday. South Hall, September 16th. Dueling Pianos, September 29th. Modern Pop-Up Market, September 30th. Tall City Brewing Company, Geeks Who Drink Trivia, every Tuesday. Tall City Beer Run, every Thursday. Sunday Sweets, Sunday. Carnival de Agua Fresca, September 16th. The Venue at Live Oak, Los Bravos de Ojinas Daga, September 14th. Sarah Hobbs, September 28th. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, West Texas Symphony, Saturday, Joe Coy World Tour, September 14th through 15th, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse Live in Concert, September 20th, West Texas Winds Fall Recital, September 21st, Key of G Live, September 24th, The Book of Mormon, September 27th through 28th. The Lion King coming to Lubbock's Buddy Holly Hall. Renowned musical The Lion King is coming to the Buddy Holly Hall in Lubbock. Since premiering in 1997, The Lion King has held 27 global productions and has had four of the worldwide productions running for 20 years. It has also been performed in 9 different languages: English, Japanese, German, Korean, French, Dutch, Spanish, Mandarin, and Portuguese. This will be the show's first Lubbock performance. Buddy Holly Hall shows will run October 5th through 15th with varying times: 7:30 p.m. Tuesday and Thursday, 8 p.m. Friday, 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. Saturday, and 1 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. Sunday. The runtime is 2 hours and 30 minutes with intermission. Tickets can be bought at www.broadway@buddyhollyhall.com, www.buddyhollyhall.com, or by calling the box office at 806-792-8339. Prices range from $33 to $170. Group ticket savings for 10 or more are available by contacting groups at atguild.org. If you buy a ticket from a third-party website, it will not be honored at the door. Aaron Watson to play free concert for UTPB's Homecoming. UT Permian Basin's 2023 Homecoming Celebration will start October 27th with the help of Texas country music star Aaron Watson. The university announced that Watson will be playing a free concert at Kirk Field following the Homecoming Parade. The Falcons' homecoming game against Western Oregon will kick off at 6 p.m. on October 28th at Ratliff Stadium. Here's a schedule of all homecoming events that are open to the community. October 27th, 7 p.m., Homecoming Parade. 7 p.m., free Aaron Watson concert at the Kirk Field. Concertgoers are encouraged to bring lawn chairs and food. 9 p.m., bonfire behind Kirk Field and fireworks show. October 28th, 12 p.m., Freddyville tailgate opens. There will be family activities and a DJ. People are encouraged to arrive at Ratliff by 3 p.m. 4 p.m., Falcon Walk and Roadshow. Performances by the marching band, cheer, and dance teams to follow. 6 p.m., kickoff versus Western Oregon. National Weather Service reports another record high in Midland. Another record was broken during this history-making heat wave. The National Weather Service reported there is a new high temperature record for September 8th as the thermometer reached 103 Friday in Midland. The NWS is expecting another 2 days of 100-degree weather on Saturday and Sunday before lower temperatures and chances of precipitation enter the forecast for Midland. Friday's report: Friday's high, 103 degrees, a record. Typical high for September 8th, 90 degrees. Friday's low, 77 degrees. Typical low for September 8th, 67 degrees. Previous record high for September 8th, 100 degrees, set in 1984 and equal to 1989. Last 3 days: Wednesday, 101 degrees. Thursday, 100 degrees. Friday, 103 degrees. Next 3 days: Saturday, 100 degrees. Sunday, 100 degrees. Monday, 98 degrees. Most 100-degree days in Midland. 2011, 65 days. 2023, 56 days. 1964, 52 days. 1998, 51 days. Source: National Weather Service. Life tributes. Joe Mark Coleman. Joe Mark Coleman of Midland, Texas, went to be with his Lord and Savior on August 30th, 2023. Joe Mark was born on October 20th, 1968, in Houston, Texas, to Joe Mike Coleman and Bertha Seals Voss. Joe Mark is preceded in death by his father, Joe Mike Coleman. He is survived by his mother, Bertha Voss of Midland, Texas, son Joe Blake Coleman, Jeanette Gonzalez of Beeville, Texas, son Jay Bennett Coleman of Giddings, Texas, sister Christy Coleman Schuyler Robert of East Bernard, Texas, stepmother Sammy Huff Coleman of Three Rivers, Texas, granddaughters Ilia and Everly Coleman of Beeville, Texas, along with several nieces, nephews, family, and friends who will miss his smile, laugh, and ability to tell stories of the past. The family will receive guests from 4 o'clock p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday, September 10th, 2023, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. Monday, September 11th, 2023, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel, with interment following at Kermit Cemetery in Kermit. Pallbearers will be Joe Blake Coleman, Jay Coleman, Darren Patcher, Boyd Finch, Lee Miles, and Cades Sklar. Honorary pallbearers will be the class of 1987. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Joanne Conco Munoz. Joanne was born on November 18, 1963, to Guadalupe and Antonio Ringel. She is survived by her mother, Guadalupe Porres Ringel, her husband, Robert Munoz. She is also survived by her sons, Johnny, Jason, Jesse, and Jamie Martinez, her grandchildren, Skylar and Vanity Martinez, that she raised as her own, her other grandchildren and her great-grandchildren, her siblings, Sylvia Bill, Yolanda Ringel, Henry Ringel, and Gloria Ringel, and many nieces and nephews. She is preceded in death by her father, Antonio Ringel. She went to be with the Lord in heaven on September 6, 2023. Please join us at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel, 2508 North Big Spring Street, Saturday, September 9th and Sunday, September 10th, between 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. for the viewing. We will have a prayer service Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Joanne's memorial service will be held at Elevate Church on Monday, September 11th, 2023 at 2 p.m. Doors will be open at noon. Honorary pallbearers for the service will be Robert Munoz, Johnny Martinez Jr., Jason Martinez, Jesse Martinez, Jamie Martinez, Skylar Martinez, and Jeremiah Martinez. Jeremiah Martinez. Funeral service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Phyllis Miller Wilson Key. Midland. Phyllis Key, who many consider to be an angel on earth, ascended to her heavenly home September 1st, 2023, after a prolonged illness. Phyllis Jean Miller was born on July 9th, 1940, in Dawson, Minnesota, to Albert and Matilda Miller, the youngest of 10 children. She was preceded in death by her parents, Albert and Matilda Miller of Dawson, Minnesota, siblings John Miller, Ardella Sumner Glenn of Boyd, Minnesota, Vernon Miller B. of Dawson, Minnesota, Emily Cox of Fairmont, Minnesota, Mildred Admire, Lloyd Miller Kit of Strathmore, Minnesota, George Miller, Eldon Miller, Cecilia of Andover, Minnesota, and Betty Conan of Wellman, Minnesota, and husband Kenneth Key of San Angelo, Texas. Phyllis is survived by son Brian Wilson of Midland. A visitation for Phyllis will be held Sunday, September 10th, 2023, from 2 o'clock p.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. at L.S. Resthaven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, 79705. Fittingly, on Patriot Day, a funeral service will be held on Monday, September 11th, 2023, at 1 o'clock p.m. Also at L.S. Resthaven Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, 79705. The American Legion Post 19 family will host, quote, food and fellowship, end quote, at 501 Veterans Air Park Lane, Midland, Texas, 79705, immediately following the ceremony. Everyone is invited to celebrate the life of our dear friend Phyllis Key. A graveside service and burial will be held at 11 o'clock a.m. on Tuesday, September 12, 2023, at Resthaven North Cemetery, 6510 Texas 349, Midland, Texas 79705. Friends are asked to attend. In lieu of flowers, Phyllis requested donations to the American Legion Auxiliary Unit 19, 501 Veterans Air Park Lane, Midland, Texas 79705. Pink the Basin to provide free mammograms in the Greater Permian Basin area, or the American Heart Association. James A. Butch Brown III. James A. Butch Brown III, age 77, died Friday, September 8, 2023, of complications from Alzheimer's. He is survived by his wife, Peggy Brown, and daughter, Tiffany Smith, and husband, Stacy. Schedule for Celebration of Life gathering is pending. Midland PD seeking information on unsolved pedestrian cases. The Midland Police Department is continuing its search for new information that can help solve two unsolved hit-and-run pedestrian cases. Midland Crime Stoppers shared on its Facebook page that the, quote, few tips received have been unfounded thus far, end quote. On February 7th, Midland Police Department's Traffic Division responded at about 7:25 p.m. to an accident on the North Service Road near the 1900 block of East Interstate Highway 20, mile marker 137. Officers found Lazaro Resendez Villafuerte, 51, from Cedar Creek, lying in the roadway with life-threatening injuries. He was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital, where he was pronounced deceased. Investigating officers believe Resendez Villafuerte exited a truck to retrieve a block of wood and was struck by a vehicle, according to a previous Reporter Telegram report. Reference MPD case number 230207041. On May 6th at about 8:51 p.m., an unknown vehicle was traveling north on the 1700 block of North Big Spring Street and disregarded a red light at Big Spring Street and Golf Course Road. Quote, the vehicle struck a pedestrian crossing the roadway at the intersection and fled the scene, end quote, according to Midland Crime Stoppers. The pedestrian was airlifted to a Lubbock hospital after suffering serious bodily injuries. The suspect's vehicle had front left headlight area damage, according to Midland Crime Stoppers. Reference MPD case number 230-506-028. If a person is the first to submit any information on the suspects or the vehicle and it leads to an arrest, he or she will be eligible for a cash reward. Call Midland Crime Stoppers at 694-TIPS or download the Crime Stoppers app, P3 Tips, and submit an anonymous mobile tip. No caller ID is ever used, and those providing information will remain anonymous. Quake shakes Midland Thursday night. A magnitude 3.0 earthquake shook South Midland on Thursday night, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. The earthquake, which was initially reported to be a magnitude 3.1 quake, took place 5.5 miles south-southeast of Midland around 8:35 p.m. A depth of less than 5.59 miles was reported. The quake is the seventh in the last 7 days around Midland, Stanton, and Lamesa, according to EarthquakeTrack.com. The last quake closer to Midland happened September 1st. That 2.8 magnitude earthquake was centered southeast of Midland. Teen charged with sexual assault of a child. 17-year-old was arrested Wednesday after a female victim reported assault. A 17-year-old was arrested Wednesday after a female victim made an outcry of sexual assault, according to court documents. On August 22nd, a Midland Police Department officer was dispatched to Legacy High School in regards to a student being sexually assaulted. The 15-year-old victim made an outcry to school administrators that she was assaulted by Jonathan Nemaya Reyes, according to the arrest affidavit. The victim was interviewed on August 28th at the Midland Children's Advocacy Center, where she stated Reyes had sexually assaulted her more than once, according to the arrest affidavit. On August 30th, an MPD detective interviewed Reyes and asked him if he knew why he was being questioned. Reyes said he knew and admitted to touching the victim. Reyes was being held Wednesday in Midland County Jail for sexual assault of a child, a second-degree felony charge. Bond was set at $75,000. Life tributes. Bobby Lee Sharp. Bobby Bob Sharp, 90, of Midland, Texas, went to meet his Lord and Savior on September 3, 2023, at his home with his family by his side. Bobby was born in Gladewater, Texas, to Lee Werner Sharp and Mildred Aline Carey Sharp on August 22, 1933. Funeral service will be held at 3 o'clock p.m. Friday, September 8, 2023, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. The family will hold a private graveside service at a later date. In lieu of flowers, the family requests you prayerfully consider a donation that would make a difference in someone's life to either Hardin Simmons University Golf Team, 2200 Hickory, Abilene, Texas, 79698, or Reflection Ministries of Texas, P.O. Box 52371, Midland, Texas 79701, reflectionministriestx.org. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Georgia Gutzler. Georgia Jo Eleanor Gutzler, 98, passed away on Tuesday, September 5th, 2023. There will be a private burial service in Burnett County at a future date. Georgia was born on March 20th, 1925, in Superior, Wisconsin, to Gladys Pauline Severson Luptow and Stuart Luptow. Jo is survived by a daughter, Gail Wacker, and husband, Herb, of Midland, son, Scott Gutzler, and wife, Carol, of Dallas, daughter-in-law, Sandy Gutzler, of Dallas, grandchildren, Shelley Swan, of Dallas, Jason Wacker, of Midland, Brian Gutzler, of Frisco, Texas, Amanda Kessler, of San Antonio, and 11 great-grandchildren. Georgia is also survived by niece, Mary Gutzler, Houston, Texas, nephew, John Gutzler, San Antonio, Texas, and niece, Barbara Altobelli of Katy, Texas. Jo is preceded in death by husband William Gutzler, son Mark Gutzler, nephew Philip Gutzler, and niece Elizabeth Ann Smith. As Jo loved dogs of all varieties, memorial donations may be made to the animal rescue of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Burlington to open in former Bed Bath & Beyond location. Burlington will open its second location in the Midland-Odessa area in 2024, according to a permit filed with the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation. Burlington will take over the now-shuttered Bed Bath & Beyond store at 3001 West Loop 250 North. Construction is scheduled to start on November 1st and be completed on May 1st, 2024, according to the permit filing. The store will join Michael's Natural Grocers, TJ Maxx / Home Goods, and Aaron's in the Midland Plaza Shopping Center. Burlington has a location in the Music City Mall in Odessa. Midland tops list for home loans taken out by millennials. Last year, millennials took out 70.3% of home purchase loans in Midland, with a median amount of $305,000, according to a new study by Construction Coverage. Midland's share of millennial home purchase loans is the largest of any small metro area in the country. According to the study, the cost of home ownership has skyrocketed in large part due to the combination of high interest rates and scarce inventory. To cope with rising prices, millennials, generally regarded as individuals born between 1981 and 1996, are taking out larger home loans than the generations that precede them. The study states that in 2022, the median loan amount for mortgages taken out by applicants aged 25 to 34 was $315,000. Median loan amounts for applicants aged 35 to 44 was $365,000, higher than any other demographic. The loan-to-value ratio, the amount of the mortgage compared to the sale price of the home, was 88% for 25 to 34-year-olds and 80% for 35 to 44-year-olds. Most millennials last year were first-time homebuyers in 2022. This means they typically have less existing home equity to apply for new mortgages. Additionally, with some millennials in the early stages of growing a family, they may require more living space compared to older generations, the study states. In Midland, 70.3% of millennials took out home purchase loans, making 1,443 total loans. Midland's median loan amount was $305,000. The median loan-to-value ratio was 85.8% in Midland last year, and the median interest rate was 5.00%. Midland realtor Tracy Farrow said, because of the prevalence of the oil and gas industry in Midland, millennials who moved into the city may hold well-paying jobs and have the financial ability to afford these high home loans as opposed to millennials in other cities. Supply constraints lift oil prices. Continued supply constraints sent crude prices higher for a second consecutive week, particularly after Saudi Arabia and Russia said this week they would extend a 1.3 million barrel a day supply cut through the end of the year. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange rose 3 of 4 trading days in a Labor Day shortened week. Prices started off trading, gaining 1 $8.14 Tuesday, followed by an 85-cent rise that sent prices above $87 a barrel Wednesday. Prices eased 67 cents Thursday before regaining their footing and adding 64 cents Friday to close the week at $87.51, up 2.3% for the week and up from $85.55 at last Friday's close. The posted price ended the week at $83.99, according to Plains All American. Natural gas futures had a down week, opening trading with an 18-cent plunge Tuesday, followed by another 7-cent drop Wednesday. Prices then turned upward, rising 7 cents Thursday. Henry Hub futures then added 2.7 cents Friday to end the week at $2.605 per MCF, down from $2.765 at last Friday's close. Tim Waterer, chief market analyst at KCM Trade, noted that oil prices had relinquished some ground Thursday, but momentum remained on the upside given OPEC Plus has demonstrated a willingness to pull back supplies through the end of the year to support prices. Edward Moya, senior market analyst, The Americas with OANDA, said supplies continue to drive crude prices. Quote, no one is doubting that OPEC Plus will keep this market tight going into the winter. Before the OPEC Plus decision, the global market was set for a supply deficit of just over 1 million barrels a day in the fourth quarter. That deficit will likely be closer to 2 million barrels a day and will be able to overcome global growth concerns that stem from both China and Europe, end quote, he wrote in his daily newsletter. He added that oil prices look like they want to keep the rally going and could do so if further evidence emerges China's economy is stabilizing. A weakening of the U.S. dollar could also provide price support, he noted. Production cuts from OPEC members have also boosted sour crude prices, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. The agency reported that the production cuts are limiting the availability of medium and heavy sour grades of crude, contributing to a relatively higher price for those grades while also putting upward pressure on WTI and Brent, the global benchmark crude. Light sweet crude oils typically trade at a premium compared with sour crude oils because they are less costly to refine and tend to produce higher yields of more valuable products. Sweet and sour crude oil price spreads have narrowed in most major trading hubs, including those in North America, Europe, and the Middle East. The spread between the price of medium sour Mars crude oil and the light sweet Magellan East Houston has declined since late 2022. And Mars was sold at a small premium briefly in July. The extent and duration of the current market dynamics with sour crude oil prices trading unusually high remain uncertain, the agency reported. Community Roundup for September 9th. Dunes Sagebrush Lizard Meeting. With just a couple of weeks left before the end of a public comment period on listing the Dunes Sagebrush Lizard as an endangered under the Endangered Species Act, ESA, one organization is seeking to provide some additional information. The American Conservation Foundation, ACF, will be holding an informational call via Zoom on September 13th beginning at 10 a.m. to discuss the implications of the proposed listing and opportunities for landowners and stakeholders to get involved in pre-listing conservation activities relative to the Texas Conservation Plan, TCP. The ACF is a nonprofit organization that currently holds an ESA pre-listing permit for the lizard. It is one of only two existing permits in Texas and was transferred to the ACF by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services for the TCP. The TCP is a candidate conservation agreement with assurances that allows for oil and gas development in Texas while protecting the lizard and its habitat in the Permian Basin. To register for the informational meeting, email Angela Garcia with the ACF at admin@ac-foundation.com. Pet Resource Fair. Fix West Texas will have the Midland Pet Resource Fair adoption event and open house on September 16th at 523 Princeton, Suite 17. The event is set for 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Quote, pay for what you can afford, end quote, services will be available for those in need, free leashes, collars, pet food, adoptable pets, and more. Online, fixwesttexas.org. VA hosts Teletown Hall for Women Veterans. The West Texas VA Health Care System will conduct a telephone women veterans town hall at 6 p.m. Thursday. West Texas VA Health Care System encourages women veterans to join this police conference, to join this telephone conference to hear updates about women's health services and get their general questions about women's health care answered. Women veterans will receive a call from the West Texas VA just before 6 p.m. to their telephone number on record with the VA. Women veterans may also dial in directly at 1-833-305-1700. Community calendar. The Phyllis and Bob Cohen Performing Arts Series presents Animaniacs in concert Saturday, Schaap Center. Air shows Saturday and Sunday. St. Anne's Family Fair and Carnival, September 28th through October 1st. National Night Out, October 3rd. Make a Difference Day, Annual Fall Community Cleanup, October 7th. 2023 WTX Women, Professional Women's Symposium, October 11th through 12th. Senior Life, Midland 34th Annual Texas Size Garage Sale, October 13th, 14th, 17th, and 19th. Pink in the Park, October 14th, Centennial Park. Reporter Telegram School Bond Forum, October 18th at Midland College. Midland Northside Lions Club's 20th Annual Family-Oriented Roar with Laughter Comedy/Variety Show, October 21st, Hispanic Cultural Center. LHS Dolls Annual Charity Golf Tournament, October 21st, Hogan Park, www.lhsdolls.com. Cruise for a Cause Car Show, October 28th, Horseshoe Pavilion. Love Comes First, An Evening with Jenna and Barbara Bush, November 7th, Petroleum Club. Regular events. Rescue Runners, 8 to 10 a.m., 1st and 3rd Saturdays, Midland Animal Shelter. Gentle Healing Yoga for Cancer-Impacted People, noon and 5:30 p.m., Monday, Yoga Sanctuary, 4202 Dawn Circle, 79707. Upcoming meetings. Commissioner's Court, 9 a.m. Monday, Commissioner's Courtroom, Midland County Courthouse, 500 North Lorraine Street, Midland Development Corp. 10 a.m. Monday, Midland Chamber of Commerce Board Meeting, Boardroom, 303 West Wall Street, Suite 200. Midland City Council, 10 a.m. Tuesday, Council Chamber, City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Important election dates, October 10th, last day to register to vote. October 18th, Reporter Telegram School Bond Forum at Midland College. October 23rd, first day of 2 weeks of early voting. October 27th, last day to apply for a ballot by mail. November 3rd, last day of early voting. November 7th, election day and last day to receive ballot by mail.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, September 7th. ProPetro CEO says bond passage would be investment in community. Sam Sledge at Chamber's State of Education event said investment would help match what oil companies have been doing for years. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. It's time for Midland to match the investment oil companies are making in the community every day. That was the message from ProPetro's Chief Executive Officer and Director, Sam Sledge, during the Midland Chamber of Commerce's State of the Education event. Sledge was on the panel when the proposed $1.4 billion bond was brought up, the supposed elephant in the very large Bush Convention Center, and he told the hundreds in attendance he was on the bond planning committee and his favorite things about the proposal that goes before voters on November 7th are the security upgrades, which come with more modern facilities, and the grade realignment. He then said it is time for Midlanders to remember the billions of dollars being invested every year by oil companies like ProPetro, Pioneer Natural Resources, and Diamondback Energy, the presenting sponsor of the State of Education. He said one can put that $1.4 billion up against the numbers that oil companies spend and, quote, it's not that big of a number, end quote. Midland College President Damon Kennedy also was on the panel and also threw his support behind the bond. Kennedy also served on the bond planning committee and said that as a father to former Midland ISD students, He never understood the district's ninth-grade campuses, something that Bond Passage is expected to rectify. He said all students need access to every program, and that is critical from his perspective as the fifth president of the college. Quote, "I think Midland is in a unique place," Kennedy said. "The time is now to pass a bond. I don't know how many more times Midland gets to tell the world we don't care about public education," end quote. The bond is a hot-button topic in Midland, but the Midland Chamber of Commerce's panel discussion made sure that topic wasn't just approached, but integral to the presentation. Evan Thomas, chief operating officer of the chamber, stated that the chamber board unanimously passed a resolution showing its support of the bond, and two of the three panel members specifically mentioned their personal support for the bond initiative. Stephanie Howard, the superintendent of the Midland Independent School District, told those in attendance that she could not publicly advocate or oppose the bond, but that the bond plan would lessen the need for portables and help with the expected 3,500 student increase in 9 years. She added that because of tax compression made possible by the Texas legislature and by the expected increase in the homestead exemptions, one of the largest school bonds in the history of Texas, if passed, would not be a dramatic impact on the district's total tax bill. Howard stated that the current tax rate, 91.4 cents per $100 valuation, will drop in 2024. The Midland ISD School Board is expected to vote on a tax rate, 82.3 cents per $100 valuation, that would help pay more interest and sinking debt. Should the bond pass, the rate would then increase to 88.4 cents per $100 valuation. Editor's note. Editor Stuart Doreen is on the board of directors of the Midland Chamber of Commerce. He abstained from voting on the resolution. Oil and gas man files for MISD race. Josh Gwynn to run against Brian Murray in Northwest Midland. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. An oil and gas man with nearly two decades in the business will run for Midland ISD School Board. Josh Gwynn filed Wednesday to represent Midlanders in the northwest part of the city as he challenges Brian Murray for the District 7 seat. Gwynn filed on the last day of the filing period for November 7th special election. Gwynn talked to the reporter Telegram and stated his intention is to bring transparency and authenticity to the position. He stated he has three pillars for education in Midland and District 7. They are improving academic outcomes, supporting teachers, and restoring discipline. Local schools also should provide necessary tools and resources for teachers, parents, and students to achieve academic success. He talked about being born and raised in Midland, graduating from Lee High School, and seeing the direction Midland ISD has gone. Gwynn said he looked at running in 2020, and when the opportunity came around this year because of the special election, his fiancée told him it is time to stop talking and run. Quote, "Instead of talking about opinions," Gwynn said, "it is time to share them with everybody. There is no turning back. I am 100% in," end quote. District 7 includes the following areas: Greentree, Briarwood, Saddle Club Ranch Estates, Great House, a section bordered by Garfield Street on the east, Midland Drive on the west, Bluebird Avenue on the north, and Loop 250 on the south, and another section bordered by Loop 250 and Briarwood to the north, Wadley Avenue to the south, Holiday Hill and Loop 250 to the west, and Midkiff Road to the east. Gwynn's business experience includes more than a decade managing multi-million dollar CapEx drilling budgets and working with a teamwork-centered mindset to accomplish strategic objectives. Gwynn, age 36, pointed to having students in the school district and being part of that younger generation wanting to step up to the plate. Quote, MISD is not trending right now in a good direction, Gwynn said. Not to take away from Brian, but I can bring things to the table to make the changes that are needed, end quote. He said people will realize during the campaign that he is authentic and that if he says something that they can believe it. Gwynn said, quote, I don't beat around the bush. We need transparency. People need to know what is going on in the school district, end quote. Pfluger calls for a local public hearing on lizard listing. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Last month, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service extended the comment period for the public on listing the Dunes sagebrush lizard as endangered under the Endangered Species Act to October 2nd. The extension had been requested by various energy industry associations, including the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, which requested a public meeting be held in Midland before the comment period ends, in the same letter requesting the extension of the deadline. That request was echoed this week by Congressman August Pfluger. In a letter to Martha Williams, the San Angelo Republican, whose district includes the Permian Basin and a portion of the lizard's habitat, urged her to hold a public hearing in the Permian Basin, quote, to fully understand the consequences that the Biden administration's decision to list the Dunes sagebrush lizard as an endangered species would have on local communities, as well as energy and national security, end quote. Pfluger wrote that the listing poses an existential threat to the nation's energy independence, making it imperative the FWS hear directly from the community it will impact. He also highlighted the fact that while the Permian Basin has produced the lion's share of oil and gas in the country, the region is also a leader in renewable energy development, with the potential to provide power for over 9 million homes. The proposed listing, he wrote, would have an outsized impact on future renewable energy development, as such projects would face steep regulatory hurdles. Justin Painter discusses state of Midland County Sheriff's Office. Painter to run for Midland County Sheriff. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. Justin Painter, the son of the late Gary Painter, formally announced his campaign to run for Midland County Sheriff Wednesday at the Doubletree Hotel by Midland Plaza Hotel. Justin Painter stated that his opponents for the Republican nomination, who as of now are Sheriff David Kreiner and former Chief Deputy Rory McKinney, quote, have more than proven that they do not possess the knowledge or ability to run an efficient and respectable sheriff's office, end quote. Being more open and available to the media and public is an aspect of his father's Midland County Sheriff's Office that Painter wants to bring back. Quote, I plan to have an open-door policy and invite the public back into the sheriff's office, as I have nothing to hide, he said. Justin's father, Gary, died in 2019. He had served as Midland County Sheriff for 34 years. Painter discussed an emphasis on injury-related crimes, cracking down on drug and alcohol-related crimes, and putting an end to human trafficking in Midland. He also discussed oil field theft and hiring the personnel necessary to make a difference in that area. Painter said he has been contacted by many people who want to see the Painter legacy and attitude back at the Midland County Sheriff's Office. Quote, it would mean everything, Painter said, about being elected and following his father's footsteps. Quote, he had the heart for it. He was dedicated to the people as I feel as I am. I'm highly dedicated, highly motivated to get things done, to bring law and peace back to Midland County, and with the help of MISD Police Chief Carlos Ortiz and Midland Police Chief Seth Herman, "I know all three of us together, we can make it work. We can make it happen," end quote. Peter listed some of his background and accomplishments during his press conference. He attended MISD elementary and junior high schools before attending Lee High School, now Legacy, where he was a member of two football teams that won Class 5A state championships. Painter attended Midland College and then volunteered to join the Air Force, where he spent 12 years as a military police officer. Painter was deployed to Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan, and islands off the coast of Brazil. Painter received the Air Force Achievement Medal for saving a child from choking to death while on base. Painter was promoted to sergeant in the Air Force and classified as an expert marksman. Painter attended the U.S. Army Special Weapons and Tactics School. Painter attended the Permian Basin Law Enforcement Academy and went to work for the Andrews County Sheriff's Office as a patrol deputy, where he worked for 6 months. After discovering that Andrews County schools did not offer wrestling for his children, he and his family moved to Conroe, and Justin has worked as a patrol deputy at the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office. In 2022, Painter received the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office Law Enforcement Officer of the Year Award. He was 9 years old in 1990 when he started riding on patrol with his father. Quote, "My dad had one of the most respected sheriff's offices in the state of Texas for 34 years. I was shocked and extremely disappointed at how much the Midland County Sheriff's Office has regressed since my dad has passed away," Painter said.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.